Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
There's no reasonable reason.
I'm sorry. I know it's 24 hours, 48 hours old, but we got to talk reasonable reasons today to keep the lights on. Hope you're well. Great to have you on a Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago. Danny Burke is producing engineering. Can join us, can tap the line. Schilling Bridge, Cork, and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll free, 1-800-825-5865 across the Hail Varsity Radio Network. Now, I said leave the lights off. Well, I think Saturday turned them out on the era of Mr. Riley. And the HailVarsity.com poll question is up there for you to vote, for you to share. If you want to expound on it, jump onto the message board, do so. Or find us on Twitter at HailVarsity at Schmidt underscore radio. Okay, here is the poll question, and thanks for voting. The best move for the future of Nebraska football is what? A, give this staff more time. B, keep Riley, make changes elsewhere. C, Nebraska should find a new head coach. People are still taking aspirin in Iowa City and dehydrated because of the party that went on in Hawkeye Land. Sparty is still fist bumping. Other Sparties around East Lansing. Northwestern, after Ison Dowd after three straight overtime games, they're still high-fiving. Then there's Nebraska football, now a game under 500. Here's Nebraska football, now a fourth loss in six games at Memorial Stadium. Blown away. I knew attendance wouldn't be awesome. I knew the tailgate scene was shrinking, not due to weather, but due to excitement for Northwestern. And then Mr. Mark Kranak, my partner in crime Saturday mornings, fires off his tweet with a section of 20, and there's eight of the 20 there. Now, granted, you might need some oxygen where Kranak sits, but the point is you're just disinterested, and Saturday may have been the final straw for you as a Nebraska fan. We'll have to read Bill Moose's mind on whether or not Saturday was a final straw in his mind for Mike Riley and Nebraska. Look, this is what's on your mind. This is what you're thinking about. It's what's been the topic and dominant topic of conversation since the fourth quarter of Wisconsin, since the Ohio State bludgeoning. Even with the 58 minutes you saw last week at Purdue, and then with this game, if you're a Nebraska fan, you are incensed at not only losing and the hurt of losing in overtime, but the chances you had in regulation. And quite honestly, how you lost this football game. Is Northwestern a good team? They're not great at anything, but they find a way. They found a way to beat Michigan State, who's now 13th in the polls. They found a way to beat Iowa 17-10 in a rivalry game. Iowa, with their big win over Ohio State, now 24th in the country. Iowa was left for dead. And the team that has now put together a four-game winning streak, two of those four games against teams that took down Goliaths in the Big Ten East. And then there's Nebraska. Where are you at? You make changes to go forward, not go back. This team has gone in reverse. Staff changes on the defensive side of the ball, for the most part, have not been able to be accelerated quickly enough to help offset what is the biggest problem in Nebraska football right now, and that is their offense and their offensive efficiency. Poor execution, questionable play calling. Look, man, it's easy to go armchair quarterback and scream, why the hell you calling that? It's easy to do that, but there's a pattern of questioning that's acceptable now with some of the play call based on what execution has worked and what hasn't worked consistently with the execution. And you have had chances in football games to take control where you're not out-talented and you just don't do it. And when you do put some points on the board, it's a consolation prize. 18 plays, 79 yards, three ball. And it's in the red zone, beginning in the fourth quarter. Interception. A chance to go up 10 with 10 left. And listen, if you beat Northwestern, does it change the question out there if Riley's going to be back and his staff will be back? No, it doesn't change it, but it puts it on hold a little bit longer because you'll take a win over Northwestern knowing how consistent they have been. They've been a 10-win team more times than not, or a 9-win team more times than not. They've been a thorn in your side. That's not a win you sneeze at. You'll take it, but you just keep finding ways to lose games if you're Nebraska football. How you lost, play calling and execution, the Diaco defense, and what's Bill Moose thinking? Can chime in, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Is there even a decision to weigh anymore if you're a Nebraska fan when it comes to the best move for your future? And just the vibe and the feel around the program right now continues to get worse with direction of the program, hope for the program, and feeling like this is the guy to lead Nebraska to a turnaround. And here's what maybe some of you have done, and this is important to separate. Separating Mike Riley, the man and person and face of the program, from what Mike Riley's in charge of. Okay? Because you don't last in football 40 years. You don't lead SC to a Rose Bowl. You don't win a Grey Cup. You don't do a lot of things for a long time in the NFL and in college and resurrect a program like Oregon State without knowing and being good at your job. But then it comes down to fit and expectation and timing and a bunch of things. And it just ain't working out. That is sad to say because of Mike Riley, the person, and some of the good he has done in football. But it ain't doing good here. Mike Riley, the coach, is in charge. And I want to believe he signed off on changes. He has signed off on autonomy for his coordinators to do what's best. And he's accountable for their decisions. And he's accountable for their results. And he has made changes at the coordinator spot because, well, there's somebody better out there. And ultimately, the accountability for him lies in his offense. The changes he's not touched. Anybody on the offensive side of the ball, and I don't like talking about folks losing their job. Some of us have lost jobs before. It sucks. I get it. Totally get it. But you're not getting out of your own way. You're overthinking. You're not executing. And some of these things in the past, i.e. the performance and lack of execution, there's enough evidence there to not call a screenplay on second and 10. There's enough evidence there that you're throwing a fade route. Maybe you throw it to Reimers because he's 6'5 and not somebody shorter than that. If you're going to go with the play call, put yourself in position for success. And just the Murphy's Law of turnovers, bad things happening in the red zone with the interception, with this need to throw the football. And I know they didn't run real well at times. They had a couple of plays to get them over 100 yards. But this lack of ability to be balanced is your downfall. You can vote with HailVarsity.com and the best move for Nebraska's future. Let's go to the phones. On hold is Nate. Nate, welcome into Hail Varsity. Nate, go ahead.
Oh, Chris, my brother, how are you?
I'm all right, man. It's a little. I got the windows open. Not windows open, but I got the blinds open here. So I got a little sunshine peeking in here. It's a little bit brighter outside than the Husker Nation is seeing or feeling right
it
now.
It is, and it totally throws you because if you're in the sun, it's hot as all hell. But if you're not in the sun, it's like, where's my long john?
Uh-huh.
It's kind of that middle area that just sucks. So, I mean, let me just frame it in this way, right? So the Purdue game. Tanner Lee basically went Dan Marino. Dude mm-hmm. threw for 65%, had two touchdowns, I think, no interceptions, was extremely efficient, had no major play calling issues or audible issues at the line. Tanner Lee was best case scenario against Purdue. We won by 1 point against an average as all get out football team. To me, that is the Riley program in a nutshell. I mean, we cannot get mad at Riley for being Riley. He is a 500 career coach. You can play the resource argument with Oregon State to a degree, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, he was coaching the best franchise in the CFL and won something, I guess, if you call it that. But then you're going to say that the Chargers didn't have resources? The Chargers have always been in the loop trying to get good free agents. They've never had a problem getting talent to San Diego. Even when they've been bad, San Diego has had talent on their team. So to me, I really look at this as Riley's just Riley. And I don't begrudge him that, but it's clearly not the place. And we're in a position where Chip Kelly's been out of the game for a while. If we play this right, we can go get a Chip Kelly or Les Miles, who's slightly detached, and say, hey, look, we want you here. Here's your $7 million. Oh, by the way, we've lined you up two really good recruiters in Williams and Williams that, by the way, really don't probably want to go anywhere because they're now at a top flight school and they're recruiting well here. There's no reason to even consider keeping Riley at this point. The more time argument, let me ask you this, Chris. Do you envision a world where Mike Riley, even if given time, is competitive with Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh?
No, this will not get fixed. It will not get changed. They are what they are. What they are.
You know, and I kudos to you, brother, because most of the media, you and Greg, you're the only ones who are not trying to sugarcoat this crap, because at the end of the day, it's not a matter of being a nice fan or being negative Nancy or getting off the bandwagon. Chris, when that third interception happened, I turned my sweatshirt inside out and fought with people in that section that I have been going to games with since I was a small child.
What were you fighting about? Because you called it and you told them you called it, knowing your personality?
Damn right. And I told them I will shut up when I'm wrong. And I put it on my Facebook. I am actively rooting against this team until Riley's gone. And it's not because I'm a boo bug, but because I'm a doctor. And I see that there's a gangrenous limb. And if I want my patient to survive, you've got to amputate and cauterize. Because if you don't, the gangrenous limb is going to kill the whole body. And I don't want to be in that stadium the day they say, this was the last of the consecutive sellout streak, because that's where I'm going. I'm literally flirting with the idea, do I want to drop another $6,000 next year on my donation? Why? Because I can get the basketball tickets, no donation. Yep. I mean, I can spend my entertainment dollars within the university at better places at this point.
Nate, so, up against
man.
It. Appreciate
know,
your
man.
Passion.
You got it going, bro.
Thank you for the phone call. And it is not going to be better. You have a head coach, again, the person from the coach, and I've laid out what he's done in his career that shouldn't be sneezed at as a coach. And you can't find much of a better person. That's well documented. These are hard discussions, hard things to say about guys that are good at football. It's just not been good here. And the fan base right now, Nate, he's paying his 6G for seat licensing and his season tickets. I mean, the next thing that's floating around is the Iowa game, if that is the end of the sellout streak, because you're just not down. You have two more games to watch and see. But it was a rough Saturday, a game that Nebraska should have won, a game that Nebraska could have won, And the reason I say they should have won is because Northwestern did a lot to keep Nebraska in it and give Nebraska every chance. And what did you have with Nebraska? Play calling and execution that is just maddening. And it's inconsistent, and I know it's not going to be perfect. But in this grand scope, you as an offensive mind and as a play caller and as a style offensively, where you're supposed to be balanced and diverse, and it's not been that. It really hasn't been that for a lot of the time here, but less so without a dual threat quarterback. You as an offensive coach, and your offensive side of the ball has been the issue. It has killed this team. Between decision-making at quarterback, between the inability to run and get yards on first down or get yards in short-yarded situations, and then some of the play calls, and going back to some of those play calls that have not worked all season. We're loaded up today. More time for you if you want to join us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Best move for the future. You can log on HailVarsity.com for Nebraska football. You can join us 466-377-6800, 825-5865. We'll talk about Scott Frost. We'll talk about the Nebraska job. We'll talk about Saturday. Jay Moore coming up. Brian Reimers, wideout for Nebraska, on the way.
Allstate, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
1 hour from now, Husker wide receiver Brian Reimers. He's the man who caught the fade route in the end zone. But he, you know, he's 6'5", so it's okay to throw him a fade route in the end zone. Coming up, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. We welcome in NFLer, Husker, and tremendous golfer, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, Jay Moore, at JayMoore44. Jay, I know you watched the game on Saturday with your little one. Did he learn any new words? How are you?
he could have. There definitely could definitely learn some words. That's for sure. But he was kind of busy doing his own thing, which I should have been doing as well, instead of going crazy watching the Huskers play as usual. So hopefully he didn't pick anything up. That's for sure. Otherwise I'm in big trouble.
Blame mama. That's what I always did. When you get the call from the principal about what type of four-letter word was used, it's his mother. She's out of control sometimes. Jay, you look at Nebraska here, and the discussion is now, you know, will there be a chance to save the job? The final nail felt like Saturday, because the margin of error is so minimal with this team and this expectation. And what maddened you the most on Saturday? What, if you're to give me A and B, what drove you nuts, that kind of empties your hope tank? What was it?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot.
There's more than A and B, you're telling me.
Yeah. It's like A through F for me. the defensively, it's just, again, it's the inability. I mean, there were some times where we were stopping the run, but again, it's just them attacking our edges. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know Diaco's, you know, his reasoning, whatever it may be. And I still didn't understand what his post game, you know, his little press conference was that he's trying to explain. But setting the edge, it's just something no matter what defense I was in, I've been in a 3-4 or in a 4-3, and that was like one of the main foundational things, is setting the edge, and Nebraska just does not do it. I mean, it's maddening. You know, I look at the overtime and Northwestern just kept running that same like G counter, pull the guards, and we at times could stop it. We got some good stops with it, and all of a sudden overtime, offensively and defensively, it looks like two different teams. Like, we're going to try something completely different that we were somewhat successful with in the game. So that's what really upset me about this in the game, was just our demeanor in overtime. I mean, we did a lot of good things within the football game, and all of a sudden we get to overtime. It's like, hey, let's try something else. Let's throw throw something on the wall and see what sticks. So that was a little that was frustrating. I mean, some of the play calls obviously were a little puzzling to me, and especially the screen play in overtime. That one was really maddening. I hated the shot play to Stanley with about a minute left at the boundary. I hated that call. So now you're behind the sticks and you haven't shown that you can move the ball really well. You can't get behind the sticks in that situation. A field goal in that situation is prime point. Mm-hmm. Now you're behind the sticks and you're grasping at straws. I just don't like that type of call. So there's a few things that drove me nuts as usual. But the how we executed in overtime, the most crucial time, and people weren't expecting much. Let's be honest. Nebraska struggles within the red zone for most of the year, especially the last couple games. So we knew we were in trouble, but I just don't get the demeanor of the play calling and the execution in overtime when somewhat what you're doing in the game, there were some things you did really, really well, and all of a sudden you couldn't make it happen in overtime.
Jay, you're a former Nebraska player. You served under three of the previous coaches, interim with Bo against Sparty in the Alamo Bowl. Frank recruited you. And then Callahan was where you had your senior season. You guys played for the Big 12 championship and went to the Cotton Bowl, the last New Year's Day bowl, big-time bowl Nebraska's been to. All that being said, when you look at where Nebraska's at right now and the job of Nebraska, the head job of Nebraska, how appealing is it out there? Because that's the discussion point. Well, if the era is going to be over with Riley, that's how many feel. You're just waiting on the answer. Who wants it? Is that a fair question? Is it a job? We put the red on. You grow up here. You live here. You think it's a sweet place, and it's awesome. But when it comes to acquiring somebody here, potentially, is it a hard sell to find the next coach of Nebraska?
I don't think it should be. I mean, if there's a coach out there that says, "Oh, I'm afraid of the fishbowl. I'm afraid of the high expectations of getting back to the '90s or of the winning football culture." Like, I don't want to. Like, don't go take part in some crappy school in the ACC or wherever. I don't know. Like, go. If you don't want high expectations, then buddy, then that's fine. Go to somewhere else. Go to go coach at Oregon State. They're gonna have a job opening, something like that. If that's what you want, where 7-5 is okay. And I get it. I understand that it's a tough task to get job people back there, but it's obviously doable. I mean, you look at where Bama was, years ago. And I get it. I understand the recruiting thing, and that's also an issue with guys, is trying to get guys here into the state where the 500-mile radius isn't that strong. But there is plenty of talent in Missouri and Kansas and in Colorado and in other schools and other states around here. But if that's one of your reasons where, I don't like the constant, the fan base is too demanding, administration, people are too demanding there, then hey buddy, that's fine. We don't need that. I want someone here that wants to get it back to where it was. I want someone that wants to accept the challenge. I want someone that is going to be passionate about what used to be here and embrace what used to have here and doing some things a little different than everyone else and getting it back there and understanding that, yeah, it might not, it's not going to be easy, and yeah, it's not going to be done in maybe a couple years, but he's going to embrace everything that comes along with that. He's going to love the passion. He's going to love the fan base. He's going to love the constant attention that everyone gives the program. I mean, that's great. I mean, you don't get that at a lot of schools. So I see both sides of the fence, but if you're too worried about the negative side of things with a passionate fan base and high expectations, then, hey, you're not a good fit for here. Go somewhere else. Turn it down. It's a tough job. It is. It's not easy. But there's perks to it. There's the facilities are phenomenal. The state's phenomenal. I believe there is talent here. Don't get me wrong. I do believe there's talent here, and you can get talent here. So it just takes that guy that wants to embrace everything, embrace the challenges that is coaching at Nebraska, that is the expectation levels here, the demand for greatness, and someone's got to embrace that to take this job and to get it where it needs to go.
Is one of the biggest roadblocks right now for this 2017 team the fact that not many of them have won at a high level? I mean, the learning how to win part of the equation, because they just looked like a completely different team, as you mentioned, heading into overtime. It was, oh, crap, it's overtime, versus, all right, man, it's overtime. Let's go do this thing. Northwestern's working on their third straight where they're comfortable, fine, but there's also a bit of a bit of mileage put on the old odometer for them when who should be ready to rock it in overtime. Did you ever get freaked out in overtime?
No. I didn't play a lot of overtime games.
You played in two.
I played in two. We played Iowa State my junior year, which I don't know if – I think the one position they had, I got dinged or something like that, didn't make it in there. And then against Kansas my senior year, I mean, it's just another game. Hell, you just played in 60-some snaps. What's another five? You know, it's no big deal. It's just another part of the game. I mean, there's really nothing that you need to put it on the pedestal and say, oh my gosh, this is some crazy thing that I don't know if I can execute. I don't foresee that. I don't understand that would be the issue. I think what lies within this team is just the sheer toughness. I just don't think they have the mental toughness to kind of go about some stuff. They look at the game, the scoreboard too much, and they look at it as it's too strenuous, it's too tough, and they're just, you know, the way they go, the process of getting about, you know, to the game. I just don't think Matt Campbell in his post game speech last week was, you know, embracing that process and how tough it is, but once, you know, falling in love with that process. And I just don't think Nebraska and the kids there have quite done that. And because the process yet hasn't loved them back, in my honest thing, because they haven't gotten the result out of whatever process they're going to, which I don't think it's the right process yet. But it just hasn't, they haven't gotten results. So it's hard to buy in. But I think this team in general just struggles with toughness. I mean, you look at other like teams, we look at Iowa, other teams with maybe less talent than we have at Nebraska, and the success they're having. I mean, I'm tired of all the excuses of what's holding this team back. I just think this coaching staff's not getting enough out of the talent that's there, and these kids aren't tough enough, and that is what it is.
Jay, 30 seconds before we say goodbye. In decoding Diaco, I think he's done a good job all year. I will give him credit for this, that he's not throwing his kids under the bus. Do you agree?
No, I think he's.
Or is it coddling?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I just think he thinks he's very, very – I mean, he's a smart guy. He knows a lot. He's a good coach. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes that being smart and knowing almost too much and thinking that you're – the way you're explaining things is going to go over people's heads and trying to dumb it down for them, which I think he tried a little bit. It's just it was just goofy. It was goofy in my mind. I think he, you know, in a way he said, hey, the kids are putting forth the effort. I'm still short a couple guys that I need at some position. Mm-hmm. Where we're at in the process of learning this defense, you know, isn't quite there yet. So it's not my fault.
Yeah.
That's my kind of playing of it, but also I think he's coaches can have large, I mean, all coaches have, everyone has their egos, yeah. But I think some coaches have very, very big egos that, you know, they want to show how smart they are, and it can hurt teams a lot, and I think this might be one of those situations. I mean, it's just tough, and it's a tough project to take over. You got all these kids and trying to teach them a whole new defense and all the pressure that is in year three to win, it's hard. It's not an easy process, but I think there could have been a lot easier way of explaining things. Mm-hmm. But I'm still trying to decode everything that came out of that.
Bird, we'll see you later in the week, bud. Appreciate the time today.
Yep, you got it.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Jay Moore. Coming up 20 minutes away, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, the pride of Lincoln East, Brian Reimers, wide out for Nebraska, had a great catch to get Nebraska on the board. If you're going out tonight, a little Monday Night Football love, and you have a couple, well, make plans to get that sober ride home. You get caught drinking and driving, you'll face a DWI that could cost you up to $12,000 in fees and jail time, and you'll be required to install that interlock device. Make the plans tonight or this weekend to have that sober ride home before you go out. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Open phones till 5 o'clock for you. If you want to join us, 466-377-6800-825-5865. The Hail Varsity poll question on HailVarsity.com. What's the best move for the future of Nebraska football? Let's talk Bill Moose here real quick. And Riley was asked today about Bill Moose. Got 12 here, Danny. As this season progresses, it feels like it's all over, but the season part of things, when it comes to the fan base, the noise, the word on the street, the buzz, the excitement, the energy level for the fan base. And the final straw was not just losing to Northwestern, but how you lost to Northwestern. We had every opportunity to kick a field goal, go up 10 with 10 minutes left, and you just can't quit stepping on yourself. But what's going on between Bill Moose's ears right now?
You know, what I'll tell you is that I have talked to Bill somewhat in depth, not a lot, a couple different times. And, you know, the topics will be between us at this point. But I've had good talks with him and been around him quite a bit since he's been here.
Okay, let's dive into some of those topics, okay? If you're Bill Moose and you're Mike Riley and you have chatted, let's float out there what some of the topics may have been, okay? Toughness. How many times do your guys get hit, go down, stay down? How often injured are your guys? What's going on with that, Mike? Question one. Two, you know, why can't you guys run the ball? And if I'm an AD and I'm a football guy, I'm asking that, knowing what balance needs to look like. And why, in a max protect situation, is your junior captain giving up a clean shot at the quarterback where he's not where he needs to be? And that's not necessarily on the junior captain. It's about the replacement you have, perhaps, at center. Because you're back to communication and stunt issues. When you get jacked throwing the football and there's an interception at the 20. I mean, it's just maddening. There are non-excuse realities with this football team that tell you a lot about not going undefeated or being in the college football playoff or beating Ohio State. I get that. But right now, you could finish 4-8. That isn't, it's not acceptable, but it should never be a possibility. Whether you want to go cupboards bare, they're too young, whatever, you don't care. 4-8's 4-8. 4-8's Corvallis. Coming off a 9-4 season. So you're having chats. Those are the topics. We're talking about position coaches. We're talking about coordinators. You're probably even talking about, what was it like when you got here? Your support system. What's the vision like? Is it your vision? Because the vision you have now is extremely cloudy. It just is. As you're losing at home, the fan base is zapped, the energy's down. You have another shot and you'll go play hard. I have no doubt the kids will go play hard because they got a lot of pride. I have no doubt the coaches will game plan hard. Everyone will be professional here completely to the nth degree. They'll be incredibly professional. But the fact is you're going to get smacked by Iowa. You're going to get smacked by Penn State. And you've got P.J. Fleck who wants to make a statement and then grab the microphone for about 17 minutes after the game, continuing with his statement. So those are some of the topics you're discussing here. And if you're Bill Moos, you're listening, but you're also taking notes on what you're seeing. He said he will do that. And at some point, you have to have that decision of where to go for 18. Maybe it's already been decided. Maybe it was decided after Ohio State. Maybe it's decided after the, for the most part, poor play and performance against Purdue. And or maybe the tipping point for you was Northwestern, having a chance to beat a pretty good team and not getting it done. More so because of you and not what Northwestern did. Northwestern tried to give that thing to you and kept giving it back. Let's go to the phones. Sean's on hold. Take more of your calls, 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Sean, thanks for calling in. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a couple of comments and a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think going back to Saturday, you know, I think I was kind of dumbfounded at how Iowa played against Ohio State and
right,
how inept we looked. And I did see something about Iowa starting two true freshmen on the
tackle,
offensive line. Yeah. And then also, you know, I think I almost felt guilty, I think, after the game on Saturday, because part of me, I was upset that we lost. Of course, I wanted us to win. But in the back of my mind, I think I was thinking, well, maybe this will be what will bring about some much-needed change.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, my question for you is, you know, I know that I heard Jay, I don't know when it was, maybe last week, talk about how he hopes that, you know, there's stuff already going on behind the scenes and, you know, making the contacts and doing what you need to do if you're the AD. And I just didn't know, what are the rules on, is Bill Moos actually, with a current coach sitting and other coaches elsewhere, is he actually allowed to contact coaches, or is it kind of just something that he has to wait until the end of the season?
Well, here's my understanding, and Sean, thanks for tuning in, man. Appreciate you listening. Here's what my understanding is. Bill Moos, going back to the Mike Leach search and acquire. Now, Leach was different because he was in Key West kicking it. But when you go and want to hire a sitting coach, you're going to go, you will personally go to their agent and go that way. Because if you go to an AD, the tip-off happens. And likely, as much coaching carousel movement will be in the SEC this year, perhaps the Pac-12 this year, you're going to be fighting for who you want. If you are a smart football guy, the same guy will be identified by probably three or four programs. So you're going to go through that prospective coach's agent. That agent can reach out to the AD, and likely your mind has been needed to be made up by now, see where you're at down that road with your top choice or your second choice. But have an awesome list so there's no bad answer if you make a move. And Northwestern may have caused that decision process to start.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Get more of your calls and interaction. JP texted in 88474. To Hale, he wants Lane Kiffin. Draw plays, have the most beautiful fans in all of college football, and have a couple. Lane Kiffin, come on down. No, capital N. Sorry. No, Monty was great here. Can't do it. We haven't quite got to the coaching list yet. With Bill Moos, you're going to have like a 24-hour window once and if an announcement is made here post-Iowa. Okay? Because you'll have the hug it out, thanks for everything, sorry it didn't work out, and we need to be respectful and thankful and classy towards Riley because he's just a great, great, great dude. And he has some positives to his career, and he came here wanting to make it work. He wasn't trying to be bad. Just never got out of your own way. It didn't work out. And if that is the reality of things here in 3 weeks, Moose will have the window has been Ohio State to Iowa. But a decision will need to be made soon. With, yes, here's A and B that's interested, and here's who's working us to get a raise, here's who's playing us a little bit, and here's who's dead set. And he'll have his top choices already vetted, and he'll go get that guy. He won't take no for an answer. You're not going to have to worry about settling. The parameters are this. If you don't get the favorite son in Scott Frost, say he wants to stay in Mickey and Minnie Land, or say he wants to go to Gainesville, fine. Say you don't want to jack with coming back to Nebraska, fine. You continue to root for him and tell him to do well, but you got to go get a proven winner, period. Got to get that proven winner. One's on ESPN that used to run a hurry up. We squeeze him in? Think so? All right, let's get Chad in real quick. I'll finish my thoughts in a moment. Chad, you got about a minute, bud. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to get your thoughts on having Diaco up in the box. I mean, we talk every week about how the team is sluggish and they need some intensity. And, you know, what do you think about him still being up in the box when I feel like he could bring some of that intensity to, you know, both sides of the ball?
I think
up and see what you guys
that's
have
fine,
say.
Chad. Appreciate it. Here's what is going on. I don't know that there's a strong want by those in charge to have Diaco on the sideline. That's my feel. You've kind of got this feel of us versus them, the offensive side of the ball, and then there's the defensive side of the ball. Defense has had to carry a lot of water. The offense isn't doing too much. I think there's some resentment. That's my read, not making things up. And listen, I got rid of a 30-year-old friend in coaching for you. Stay in the box. Stay away from me. Go to the box. You feel shame. Coach McBride next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, Mondays with Charlie. It's time. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, producing and engineering. We'll get to some Ndamukong Suh thoughts here coming up in about 40 minutes. Wide out for Nebraska football, Brian Reimers, coming up in 20 minutes. We welcome in Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie, Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, how are you?
Good. I'm doing good. I mean, I'm doing good, you know, physically. Mentally, I'm a disaster area.
Well, Coach, it's all right, but let's dive into that disaster area here. You watched Saturday, and how did you take it?
I just felt really sorry. I mean, I just felt sorry for players and the coaches and stuff like that. I just, you know, as soon as that thing went on and I looked at their record in the red zone, and I was kind of had an idea.
Mm-hmm. Coach, you still with us?
You know, oh. It was kind of, that's all it might be.
Coach, we lost you for a second. We lost you right after you said you felt sorry.
Well, when we got down, as the game went on and we got down in the red zone, we haven't had a lot of luck down in the red zone, so I was a little, you know, I didn't want to be discouraged, but I kind of was, you know. And, you know, that's the way it goes. Some years we were real good in some areas, and some areas you didn't want to see it. Mm-hmm. Where you're rated.
Yeah.
So it isn't anything. It's just, it's tough when you get down there, and I think their percentage of, you know, getting in once they're in the red zone and scoring has been pretty tough. And, you know, so I wasn't real happy with the overtime.
Right. They didn't play real well on either side of the ball in overtime. They got to overtime. We were talking today about, you know, kind of a laundry list of issues with Saturday. Northwestern didn't play very well. There was a lot of chances for Nebraska to kind of seize control of that. Now, credit Northwestern. When push came to shove, they went back to running the football, and that won it for them in overtime. But just some of the play calling and execution with the play calls seemed a bit puzzling. I'd like your response on that and dealing with folks, because you have a great perspective of knowing what you wanted to do and looking great when it did work, and something out of your control also can happen where it looks bad and then getting roasted for it. I mean, so
I got roasted for a long time. You know, I mean, and even when you're winning a lot of games, you know, you don't make everybody happy, and that's the way the ball bounces, and you have to learn to understand that. And you know, it's a tough business for anybody that's coaching in college football, whether they're at number one. Mm-hmm. The pressure is really on you. You know, and you're down the line, your pressure is to win. You know, I mean, it's pressure. If you're up on top, you're the best. But you better be ready to play every Saturday. And I think that's something that comes, you know, with age of the players. Mm-hmm. A lot. And it comes with looking up to players that are ahead of you and how they react and how you're supposed to play. But, you know, but I mean, I think overall, I think, you know, the thing is, it's what we try to get is a place where we can all depend on each other. And you know, it's really doesn't come when a lot of young players.
Yeah, I mean, there's some growing pains there. And a lot's been made about Coach Diaco's post-game comments, trying to explain things. What was your reaction to what he was saying? I think the gist of it was,
you tell me.
You want me to translate, Coach?
My wife said, she just read it, and she said, you better read this, because I don't, and she's pretty good. She reads a lot. I mean, I was like, I was in a different world. I said, well, hey, my vocabulary and my things in football weren't the exact same as they were in the classroom and,
right,
you know, or in psychology or whatever the case was. But, you know, I was disappointed in the answers, mm-hmm. if you want to know the truth, and, you know, kind of the way it came about. Instead of, you know, 1, 2, 3, you'd answer the question, and you know, you never try to blame it on the players, because players win, coaches lose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's my answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always believed that. But, you know, it's a game that, you know, you put your kids out there, and if you don't put them in the right position, that's the coach's problem. And that's why I've always said that players win, coaches lose. And I'll stick with it.
No, absolutely. Now, with this, there may not be a great answer, but what's a fair expectation with a change? Because the thought was, okay, it'll take some time. You've told us it'll take some time. You've been very honest about that. And it's been so hit or miss with what you're getting out of the offense as well. I mean, you're a team, so you win and lose as a team, but it's been so so hit or miss, and it's not an overnight deal. It's quite a process.
Let's put it this way. Make it simple. Two words. Time's up.
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing that I see is they're trying to run five-man pressure with backers, I mean, you know, outside backers and mm-hmm. stuff like that. They run some, but, you can – all of the wide stuff, if you get pressure from the outside, the ends mm-hmm. or the, you know, whatever the case is, let's just put it this way. If you have an outside backer coming, he has a rule. If it's option, there's a call you make. He either takes the dive, okay, if that's the call. He mm-hmm. doesn't go to the – but it looks like he's going to the quarterback, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So and you tackle the dive back if that's the call. If the call is that you have the quarterback, then not only do you have the quarterback, but that says you also have contain.
Okay.
So if the play goes away from you and comes back to you, you got them.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's not hard, but they put people in. Right now, I thought maybe they put some people in. They do a little bit. They have done some. On the edge so that they can, you know, come off the split end side.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some of the teams they play don't even have a tight end in there a lot of times, and that's really golden. I mean, you know the cutback off the inside zone?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can knock that baby out. I know Michigan State, we played them once, and first play was 8 yards. Second play, they tried the same defense. It was about minus five.
Mm-hmm.
And because you do there's a stunt that can stop the cutback stuff, but you also have to have contain now. So if you're sending the guy inside, you got to have somebody. So it has to all be worked out with the offense that they're playing. Mm-hmm. I mean that's how you sit in meetings and you know swear at each other and jump up and down and you can't do this and. Until you get it, and when four guys decide it, they stamp it, and that's what we go by.
Sure.
You know, and that's the way it is. But there's so many things on defense you can do. It is a hard change. I mean, I'm telling you, I went from a 3-4 to 4-3. That was the easiest thing in the world. I mean, that was like stealing.
Really?
To go the other way. You know, you got all the linebackers have dropped responsibilities, and as they do in a 4-3. But they also, if you play a lot of zone, then you have some real. You know, you really have to be aware of the different kinds of routes being run at you, so you can react accordingly. And you can't look in the backfield if you're in man-to-man. So many young players want to look and take a peek.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to tell them, if you look in the backfield and you're covering your guy and you're all the way across the field and they run for a touchdown outside of you, you win. You were right. And so as time goes on, like I said, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword, but players become more conscious of when they can look, when they can't at a certain time, but you can't look in the backfield. You know, when you're covering a guy, say if you got a 7-yard cushion and you're playing man to man, you can't just go look in the backfield. You better cover the guy
mm-hmm.
and understand from film how he blocks and so forth. What is a block? What isn't a block? Nowadays, they're picks.
Right. Yeah, Coach. I wanted to ask you about the offense and the offensive line specifically, and Nebraska just. In inopportune times, there are protection breakdowns, even in max protection with that that interception. You got a chance to go up 10 with 10 minutes left. You get drilled as you throw it, and you could have fallen forward three downs on that first down and still kicked the field goal with Brownie. Instead, you're throwing it, worst case scenario, that's been a lot of worst case scenarios this season with red zone interceptions, and they don't get it done. Tell me about the communication that has to happen on that line with the stunt.
Well, the offensive line has to anticipate, number one, and you have to look and see how they're fooling linebackers up in and out of there, and they're doing a lot of, you know, different things, and some teams are slant teams out of there, 3-4, 4-3, either one, you know, and things like that. So that's why I totally believe in splitting. You have to have two offensive line coaches, one that can handle the passing game, one that can handle the rush, and they alternate in practice. They go back and forth, you know, after they have a certain period of time, and they go over here. And if you do it all at once, you're pounding sand in a rat hole.
Yeah.
Okay? And, you know, you look at the NFL, how many guys they got. There's 20 coaches on the staff, but there's only so many guys, I mean, in college, mm-hmm. there's only so many guys who can coach on the field.
Right.
Might have a lot of coaches. I don't know those numbers anymore. But if you take, for example, a 4-3, if you have a guy coaching the two inside guys, how do you coach the two outside guys? What do? Stand there while you coach the two inside guys?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I said the same thing. You, 3-4, you coach inside linebackers, and then you have somebody that coaches the outside linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Because they got completely different responsibilities, and so you have to hit. It looks like to me, I can say it now, that this is a staff setup. Number one on offense to throw the football.
Yep.
Period. They're throwing coaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, and coach wants to be a running coach, and you know, it takes some time to. You can't have a one-dimensional running game. I mean, you have to have some reverses, some counters, and some traps. They have some of those things, but they don't use them very much.
Yeah.
Because they don't work on them enough in practice, because they're timing things up in the passing game. Now, that's what I can see in my mind, not as they might be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask them, they may be telling, hey, you're wrong, coach, and that may be the way it is. But that's what I see. And I've been around coaching long enough to I'm not a neophyte, you know.
You know what you see. And Charlie McBride's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Mondays with Charlie. Well, Coach, maybe it'll get better this weekend up in Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes. And some gopher hunting. We'll catch up with you next Monday. How's that sound?
Well, I don't like Minnesota, period. I was up there one time at Wisconsin, and they threw an ice ball and hit my wife in the side of the head.
That isn't any good.
The last time we put 70-some points on them up there, so it wasn't that bad.
You got even four. I like it.
That's right. Okay, guys.
Coach, you take care. Appreciate you.
Okay, you bet.
There he is.
Bye now.
So if you could put another 70 up on the Gophers, Coach McBride would be all good with that. When you think of Hale Varsity, you think of amazing photos. Aaron Babcock is incredible. And when it comes to Hale Varsity's photography needs, they put their trust in Rockbrook Camera and Sony. Sony's mirrorless image technology, it achieves the new dimensions in photographic speed and performance. And in cameras that are a fraction of the size and the weight. So you love photography, you like what Hale Varsity does, check out what Rockbrook Camera has with their Sony products. Can log on today and find out what could work for you. RockbrookCamera.com and three area locations for you. The trust of Rockbrook right in the hands of that talented man, Aaron Babcock, with Hale Varsity. A quick timeout, Brian Reimers, Husker Wideout next.
And now, back to Hale Varsity Radio.
2 minutes here, Hale Varsity Radio. Brian Reimers with his touchdown catch against Northwestern. Tell me what was called in the huddle, and, of course, the execution went down the way you wanted it.
Absolutely. You know, I knew that play was going to be called sometime during the game. Just didn't know when. And, you know, I was at Z. And me and Stanley were both in at the same time, which was how we practiced it all week. And I knew if I got that right coverage that I was the first target. And Teeley knew that too. And he threw a great back shoulder ball behind the defender. And I was able to go up and get it. And so going into it, I think, you know, I contributed a whole lot to the passing offense. And I think being able to do that on Saturday really helped my confidence level.
How's this season been for you? I know that there's been some injury. You've kind of fought your way back on the practice field. How have you dealt with the ups and downs personally from your physical standpoint?
Yeah, you know, it's been tough because you always want to be out there every game day. And unfortunately, this year, Rutgers and Ohio State wasn't able to be there. But being able to know that people are there to help you out and have your back and your backups are going to do a great job is really assuring. And then being able to come back from the injury, practice that week at full speed is really key to be able to perform at the highest level on Saturday.
Who's had your back?
I think obviously Stanley has. You know, we kind of rotate in there. And then Rutgers game, Gabe Ron stepped in and made big plays when me and Stanley weren't playing. So I think he's been a good asset. And Connor Young, too. You know, he's done a great job when in that Ohio State game. He had that couple catches there that really helped the team.
What's Coach Dubb's message been through this season? It's also been kind of a noisy season.
Yeah, you know, he's always told us keep playing. Never keep playing. Do your best every snap and take it play by play. Don't think of what's going to happen. Just play in the moment and snap by snap. Even in practice, we talk about that before every practice. Just snap by snap. Do your role and do what you're taught to do. And we've been taught, you know, as a receiver, you can make those impact plays that influence the outcome of the game. And when we have those opportunities in games, we need to take advantage of those. And I think that's really been his message this season. And moving forward, and it hasn't stopped.
What is it about Northwestern when they come to Memorial Stadium? It's been Hail Marys. It's been upsets. It's been now overtime.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen with them. You know, they're a well-coached ball club. And, you know, we knew that was going to be a physical close game coming into it. It always is, you know, and, you know, we beat them at their place last year. So we knew that we were going to get their best and we knew they were going to have a good game plan. And, you know, it just came down to some execution at the end of the game. You know, that overtime wasn't pretty, but it is what it is. And we can learn from the situations and maybe, who knows, we'll maybe have another OT game this year where we can capitalize and win it.
Brian Reimers with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I'm trying to go back in my memory. Have you been on the team when there's been overtime? It was Wisconsin last year. Sorry. So with that, I mean, is there some more pressure that comes into it? How do you see the offense reacting when you go to free football?
I definitely, even on Saturday, I think kind of those overtime nerves kind of got to us a little bit. You know, each and every snap and everything you do matters to another level. And I think even kind of the line, everyone out the field and receivers even was just nervous about the whole situation. I think that comes with, you know, Northwestern's experience those overtime games. They've had about the past three games.
In a row.
Yeah. And so, you know, they're used to it. We haven't had an OT game this year, and, you know, it just comes with that experience factor, too, is another thing.
What have you seen from Tanner this year? Really struggled at times early in the year, bounced back from that. I really appreciate his character. And then kind of some ups and downs Saturday. How's his mood and demeanor? What have you noticed?
Yeah. Thing I've noticed about Tanner is he is a fantastic leader. No matter what happens on Saturday, he'll come in Monday ready to go, and he's always positive about it. Even after today, he'll come in this afternoon to meetings positive, ready to go after Minnesota and get ready for Minnesota. And so I give him a lot of credit for that, because that's not an easy thing to do coming off some of those games. But yeah, I've been really impressed with his type of leadership that he's given our team.
A few minutes here, Brian Reimers with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Pride of Lincoln East, as he had a touchdown catch against Northwestern. Minnesota's next, and then you have three games to finish out this season. How are you approaching Minnesota and then the bigger picture?
Yep, you know, each and every, you got one game each week, and I think you focus on that each week, and we know what we got to do to get where we want to be, and I think that'll give us the motivation going into the week. And you know, we can win this week, you never know what'll happen after that, but I think right now everyone needs to focus at the game that's right in front of us.
What's been said by some of the leaders in that locker room? What was said by the peer group, by your teammates after Saturday?
I think Luke McNitt's done a great job of that. You can see him after that game high-fiving everybody, keep your head up. I think that's the type of senior leadership that we need. You know, it's not everything's going to go your way, and him and some of the other seniors have done a great job of that and really have helped us out.
What's the morale like? I mean, put a few wins together. You've had some stumbles as well. Is the energy really low, or is it still okay? Tell me how you see it.
I view it as it's still doing okay. You know, I think coaches have done a good job of telling us, you know, you never know what can happen in college football. If we win out, you never know what'll happen. And I think they give us that motivation during the week to practice hard to win that game that week. So I think they've done a good job.
How are you dealing with things as far as speculation, the swirl that's going on? You're a Lincoln kid. You have friends around campus, friends around the city that probably are in your ear.
Yeah, you know, they want to know all the little details that go on, but really we don't know a whole lot that's going on with the whole situation. And I think I just tell them, you know, you just got to live in the moment and not worry about what's going to happen in the future. We got three games left, maybe four to go. And then maybe once that's over, then worry about that, what's going to come next. And, you know, they have all their opinions of what's going to happen and all that stuff. And just kind of let it, kind of got to put it by you. Can't listen to that stuff.
I want to go back to the back shoulder. Take me through your guys' practice session, not only leading up through the week, but just the amount of times you've practiced the back shoulder. It's unstoppable in a guy like yourself that's 6'5". I mean, good luck, man. It's a little jump ball time. The amount of time you've practiced on it, and then just back to kind of the tempo we saw earlier, the two-minute drill kind of look.
Yeah.
Is that something that when the time's right, you might see more of?
Yeah, I think we want to try to throw Northwestern off guard with that tempo and try to get some cheap, quick plays here and there in the beginning, speed them up because, you know, we aren't known for that. You know, they were expecting slow. But, and then back shoulder wise, you know, we practice it. It's not a huge focus, but, you know, Tanner knows how to throw a great back shoulder, like as you see on the game. And I think, and he just made that catch a lot easier than it probably could have been. And so, but yeah, we get those chances in practice too. I mean, it's not a huge amount, but we do practice that.
A thought here on the Big Ten and just what it is like week to week. And the narrative this week will be, well, Big Ten's probably out of the playoff, but you look at the situation that Penn State was in going to Columbus, and then they go to Sparty.
Yeah.
Not an easy back-to-back. Your guys' back-to-back, Wisconsin, Ohio State, and even you look at, from a back-to-back standpoint, Ohio State plays Penn State, and then they go to Iowa. You guys have played in Iowa.
Yep.
It's not easy. So the grind that is the Big Ten, can you put that into words?
The Big Ten, as you saw this week, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. You know, Iowa this week, Michigan State this week. And you just got to come to play every week. That's the Big Ten is. No team's guaranteed to win, as we've seen. And so that's what's awesome about it. You know, there's some conferences where, like, oh, you know, they're the powerhouse of that conference. They're going to win. And I think that's what the fun part about it is. You know, you prepare harder than the team. You can beat them no matter what. And I think that's the fun thing about it.
Have you been happy with the preparation week to week from the guys?
Absolutely. I think from the coaches on down. It's been great. You know, they haven't they keep fighting and then players buy into it, and I think that's huge. And Coach Riley always says, you know, preparation, that's going to win you the game. If you study the opponent and put more time into it than they do, you know, you're going to have the better outcome.
Last thought here, Brian Reimers with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What would a bowl game mean?
It'd mean a lot. You know, this team's gone through a lot this season, through injuries, through tough losses. And I think being able to get there would just really boost the confidence for the team, even to go into next year, making that bowl game, and then winning that bowl game too. It'll all carry over to next season. I think, especially for the seniors, you know, they deserve one. And I think that's what they want the most. And so by making it there, it'd mean a lot to the team.
Has the nickname been adjusted to be pronounced appropriately and accurately? Is it still Ream Dog, or has it become Rhyme Dog now?
Still Ream Dog, you know. I don't think that'll ever change, you know. It's been stuck around for 3 years now. No point in going back.
Brian Reimers with us. Brian, take care, man. Thanks.
Yep, thank you.
Good insight from Ream Dog there on confidence on the team, Big Ten perspective, and that they're still clawing for a bowl appearance. We'll get more into some of Coach Riley's comments in 5 minutes. I want to remind you about Madonna Proactive. Fitness and wellness goals can be achieved. Maybe it's something to look at post-Thanksgiving. Maybe it's something you want to do now. Madonna Proactive is where you need to get signed up and look into it. Conveniently located 56th and Pine Lake Road. Madonna Proactive offering individual and personal training for you. Beginner courses, advanced courses. Maybe you're training for an Ironman. Maybe you're training for the marathon. They can do all of that. Maybe you're just trying to look good, look better, feel better. And they have three pools, including Lincoln's only aqua track, if you're kind of like me and you like floating around. Also, the fitness equipment, second to none. The facility's incredible. And the way to get back into shape with Madonna Proactive. Call today, 402-420-0000. Take a tour and let them show you all they have. The facility is second to none. And with an annual commitment, you'll pay nothing till January. That's three months. On top of that, consultation with a personal trainer, registered dietitian, and wellness coach. That's all there for you. Log on today, MadonnaProactive.org.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris@HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. As always, log on HaleVarsity.com and check out the message boards. Can join us. We've got open phones here for the next 20 minutes. Brian Reimers with us last segment. Coach McBride kicked off hour two. So some room for you if you want to jump in. 466-377-6800-825-5865. We talked a little bit about what those conversations between Coach Riley and Bill Moose might be like. What was the most maddening about Saturday was for sure that offensive execution. Northwestern tried to hand that to you. We'll get Riley's comments on the play calling. You can email the show, Chris@HaleVarsity.com, as well as check us out on Twitter @HaleVarsity, @Schmidt_radio. This email came in from Brett. Our problem is we have no identity, and that drives NU fans crazy. I agree. Callahan thought he was smarter and worked harder than everyone else. Bo was a player's coach and a Youngstown guy, so thought his players would run through a wall for him, and his buddies were the coaches. GPA Mike thinks his Corvallis mentality will get it done, i.e. be a player's coach. They love me, so they'll play hard for me. On top of that, recruit the position players, and we'll have a better chance because facilities are better. Finally, the email ends, start over time. Yeah, it is. Turn the lights out. Give everyone a hug. Cheers them. Thanks for your time. Thanks for everything. Say goodbye. Turn the lights out. At least to who's in charge right now. I haven't seen enough of Perella to say, well, they're awful. No, I think I like Perella. I like Bray. I think there are some good coaches on this staff. Can blast Reggie all you want, but his running backs have played okay. I know Keith and Dante are ace recruiters, but to be frank, I haven't seen much from their position groups. Haven't seen regression, aside from Spielman. He has been awesome. And you've seen the quarterback play get better. The play calling, what was Riley's thoughts on the play selection here? Got 14 with Langsdorf. And that's, if you're a Nebraska fan, you don't bump into a Nebraska fan that doesn't pull their hair out with some of the play calls.
All of us expect the best, you know. You know, I don't ever remember saying, Bob, let's do this really fast.
Stop. Cut 14. Is that what it is? Is there one there with Danny, play selection? Cut 11. Just shame on me. Danny's like, don't tell me what to play. If you're going to tell me what to play, make sure it's right. My apologies. You have a case of old style in your trunk tomorrow. Cut 11 here, Danny.
Oh, you know, we would all like to have plays back when you don't win. And so you can, as we will, analyze all of that once again. Like, you know, I think that the first down call had a great shot for a touchdown pass, believe it or not. We would have all liked that call. We had a good protection called. You know, I think the one that everybody thinks about and that really hurt us was the sack off the screen. That brings a valid question up, but at the same time, you know, that formation, that play at that time is all about the execution of it. And they had a defensive lineman fall down and get up and end up right in the middle of the screen, and Tanner had to hold the ball. So, you know, that's still bad, but that's how that stuff happens.
I absolutely applaud you for not going nuclear on your coaches. Again, the professionalism being exuded is incredible. But no more screenplays ever. Please. Week 9, you're asking them to do something they haven't been able to do all year effectively? No. What have you done offensively here that has just blown you up all year? It's been the damn bubble screen. That screen has been picked off or tipped for at least two of the pick sixes. Now you're trying to find a running back on the fake pump middle screen. That hasn't worked at all this year. Hasn't worked since you've been here. Your screen game hasn't worked since you've been here. Now, I'll give him credit. The bubble screen game worked against Minnesota last year with a different quarterback. But you are just playing with fire, man. It's stubbornness of what? It's stubbornness with your scheme and play call. You have that on the defensive side of the ball where maybe there's too much crap to deal with to play fast or to understand. Then on the offensive side, you're still calling screenplays or you're still throwing the football because that's who you are and what you want to be. And it's why you're in a predicament here with job security. Because you're not good enough with the play call to either be executed or you're not good enough to live up to wanting to be balanced. So I get that there's like Tecmo Bowl 8 plays you can run. I totally get that you're not as vast as you want to be. But you're just killing yourself hoping for a different result with these stupid screenplays from a timing standpoint. Because it's what has worked for you in the past to win a few ball games, but no championships. I just don't get it. I just absolutely don't get why at all? Why there? And from a shot to the end zone, fine. You're going to try and find Stanley? Whatever. Northwestern's pass defense supposed to be hot garbage. Well, you held most folks below 50 yards. A lot of spreading of the football around. No one eclipsed 50 yards in receiving yards. And you had about three other picks that could have happened. Most of your running yards came on the old jet sweep that got out of jail and produced a nice chunk play for you, 40-yard gain with Spielman. But with this, you're doing it to yourself with this death grip on the play of your playbook, the sheet that has a screenplay on it. And your decisions to keep going back to that well that is giving you poisonous water. It's one of the many reasons 2018 doesn't look too optimistic or like you'll be here to see it. And if you're going to throw a fade that ended up getting you behind the sticks, why not throw it to Reimers? Because you did earlier, and he caught it, and it tied the game for you. Because he's 6'5", not 6 foot. I just know your personnel. Again, armchair a-hole here. But I'm just, I can't, nothing would surprise me. I'm Clark Griswold here with Cousin Eddie. And he just broke my whirling thing in front of the eggnog. All right. We'll say goodbye next on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time on a Monday. Thanks for your input, your calls, your emails. Appreciate you tuning in. And still time for you to do so. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Sauter Heyman, 0% interest financing through 2020. Check out their extensive collection of both Earth Mind and Pure Grown Diamonds. 1 carat diamonds available for just $99 down, $99 a month. And Rick can help you pick out that perfect diamond for her, SauterHeyman.com, 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Road West in Grand Island. Why not jump on this opportunity with the holiday season around the corner? 0% interest financing through 2020. And a 1 carat diamond available, $99 down, $99 a month. And can check out the Pure Grown or the Earth Mind Diamonds. Okay. A thought here on Indomitian Sue. Sue is a beast. Sue is svelte. Sue is, when he wants to be the most dominant, impressive, disruptive, frightening defensive tackle. I'll just say defensive player in football. Sue's 30 now, and I think he liked playing for Vance Joseph a lot last year. Now, I mean, he's got Cutler as his quarterback, and maybe he'll get him a carton of Marlboros for the holiday season. Maybe he won't. I don't know. I just know that Sue's in Miami with a tax break compared to some other cities he could have signed with post-Detroit, and he's just kind of doing his thing. Does he want to be great? Does he want to be dominant like he did when he came into the league? I don't know. But I think he is so effective and elusive and athletic and powerful that he is fun to watch. Ton of fun to watch. I bring this up because buddy Uncle Nate was over last night. We had some food, and then we're watching a little bit of Sunday night football with Oakland and Miami. And Sue's on the screen because Sunday night football still does the starting lineups where the players say what college they went to. And Sue is now saying Grant High School. And he's probably been saying, Danny, you can correct me here if I'm wrong here, but has it been Grant High School for a while, to your knowledge?
As far as I know, it was just last night is when everyone was making a big deal about it. So,
yeah, right.
I don't know how long it's
been. And again, with Miami, I mean, they've been on Monday night a couple of times. I don't remember the last time they've been on Sunday night. And Monday night switched, so they're not doing the Mark Clayton from Louisville. I mean, they're not doing that. So the Grant High School thing, it is – Sue's little way of protesting that his coach is no longer here. Period. And he's got the facility up there, the Sue complex, and he's donated $2 million of his own. He's done a lot of things, and then there's his little way of saying, yeah, it's Grant High School. It's not Nebraska. So if I'm Bill Moos, I'm making a phone call to Indomican, saying, Big Sue, let's be friends, brother. Let's be some friends. Want to buy a skybox, Sue? How about we hook you up with a skybox or give you a reduced rate on a skybox so it's Indomican Sue, Nebraska, when you're on Sunday Night Football. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. Thanks for tuning in.